You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Yeti Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Now, we've spoken about the men's gathering in previous years, and we're glad to have the organizers back today to bring you updates about this year's event taking place in April in Seymour, Indiana.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.org.
Joining us today, organizers of the men's gathering taking place in Indiana this year, Joshua Vanderkar. Joshua, welcome back.
Good to be here.
And also joining us today, Luke Vanderkar, men's gathering organizer as well. Luke, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
And presenters for this year's men's gathering includes the Reverend Dr. Richard Stuckwish. He's president of the Indiana District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and one of the presenters for this year's men's gathering. Dr. Stuckwish, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. Glad to be here.
Also joining us today, Dr. Donna Harrison, retired board certified obstetrician and active leader in APLOG and this year's men's gathering presenter. Dr. Harrison, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you so much, Andy. Glad to be here.
Dr. Harrison, you are a respected physician, a speaker on life issues, retired board certified obstetrician, and you've been involved with APLOG, the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, since, I believe, 1996 in a variety of capacities. Lots of presentations, even, an expert witness in court. Is that correct? You've served in...
Yes.
In legal settings. Let me say that. That's probably a better way to phrase that. You've given numerous presentations on life matters. How is this invitation to be the presenter at the men's gathering different than all other invitations?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm really excited about this because usually my audience is pretty technical, pretty medical. And now I have an opportunity to address brothers who are really interested in what God's word has to say and in taking a faithful look at some of these issues that are just tearing our family and country apart.
So what topics will you be presenting on at the men's gathering?
I'll be presenting on some topics that are really critical to family life. Abortion, what does it mean? We use that term so loosely. And then contraception, what are the ethical issues involved with this? And finally, IVF and the topic of embryo adoption. And what are some different perspectives on this? And what are the upsides and the downsides, especially from a faithful viewpoint?
When preparing for presentations, typically with a very technical or medical audience, I'm sure that you have that in mind when preparing. What comes to mind as you prepare your presentations for men's gathering? These are husbands, fathers, and probably church leaders, pastors, elders. What comes to mind as you prepare for these topics for that particular audience?
Well, mostly gratitude for outstanding pastoral care for decades. Thank you, Pastor Stuckwich. And also, I've been married 42 years. I've seen the gamut of family considerations. And what I'm trying to do is to say, what questions are on the minds of the men who are trying to protect their families, who are trying to lead their families? What aspects of these issues do they need to know about, be comfortable about, to make a faithful decision for their families? And that's what I'm trying to target.
Why is it important for men to be in these conversations about things that a lot of times in popular culture and in media are billed as women's issues? Why is this important for you to be at the men's gathering to talk about these topics in particular?
Well, especially on the issue of abortion, if you ever want to get insight, it's very interesting to read about why women choose abortion. So many, like CareNet, has put out surveys of women who have chosen abortion. And what they say overwhelmingly, over half the time, is that the single most important person in their making a decision is the father of the baby. Okay, that's not what you hear popularly. That relationship, you know, that woman knows that she was not designed to do family by herself. That's a really tough thing. Where's the father? And I think turning the hearts of the fathers toward their children is incredibly important. I mean, even scripturally based, you know, we need to get fathers to understand the role that they're playing as protectors and caregivers and husbands for the mothers of their children. And then, you know, maybe we need a deeper look at marriage. And but that's the pastoral issue. So I'm just going to give them the technical reasons why these decisions really affect women, and they affect them deeply, and they affect them for their entire lives. So men need to understand this isn't a simple issue for women. This is a very complicated issue that involves the very core of who they are before God. And that's, I think, why they need to understand.
Pastor Stuckwish, you'll be collaborating with Dr. Harrison for presentations at the Men's Gathering. Tell us a little bit about your interest in working alongside Dr. Harrison and why it's important to address these topics at the Men's Gathering.
Sure. I mean, it's an incredibly important conversation. Obviously, abortion has torn our country apart politically, but even at the foundational level of our families. And I think for the most part, certainly not entirely, but for the most part, our LCMS lay people are aware that abortion is contrary to God's word. Our church has been very consistently pro-life in that regard. But abortion itself, I think, is so subjected to the rhetoric in the popular culture that even our own folks don't necessarily know how to navigate those conversations. They don't know how to think through some of the more complicated and delicate aspects of that conversation. And I will say, because she won't blow her own trumpet, but Donna has been on the front lines of this battle for a long, long time. And normally when she's speaking, it's in front of hostile audiences, or at least well-divided audiences. So I think she really is looking forward to talking to a group of men who have asked her to speak because they want to hear good information that they can use to make godly decisions for their families. I'm hoping to be there to provide a pastoral and theological perspective on these conversations, especially, I think, for our folks. I think some of the harder ones have to do with contraception, birth control, and artificial insemination. Is that the correct term?
Yeah, that's correct.
I think those topics are harder for our folks to wrap their heads around and to make good godly decisions about. And it's not like I'm going to presume to tell everybody what to do. That's not my place, and it isn't even possible. But one of the things that I've been trying to do for a long time now in my own pastoral ministry and in my service to the church has been to provide some framework, some context by which husbands and fathers, as well as, you know, their wives and the mothers of their children, can think through these difficult questions and think about their families and how to proceed in faith toward God and in love for God and for the neighbor. So I'm hoping that I can be, contribute in some of those ways to the conversation. I'm going to let Donna do most of the talking because she has an expertise that is not readily available. I think the folks who come to the gathering should be aware that they're getting to listen to someone who is recognized really worldwide as an expert in this field, who knows what she's talking about, and can provide hard data to support the things that we as Christians believe, teach, and confess as well regarding human life, when it begins, why it's sacred. So I'm excited that I have that opportunity. I've had the privilege of being Donna's pastor for a long time, and I've gotten to know her very well in that capacity. We also have the privilege of sharing four of our grandchildren because my daughter married her son. And so we have a lot in common. And as far as just being good friends and colleagues in this effort, in this fight, it's going to be an honor for me to stand alongside her and to help answer questions, and especially to provide that pastoral and theological perspective as we get into the weeds of the topic.
Pastor Stuckwish, what kind of gift is it to have such an educated and well-respected expert like Donna Harrison in the fellowship?
Well, it is a gift and a blessing and a treasure. I think actually there are people in our synod who are aware of Donna and her work and what a blessing it is. For me, for my family, for my congregation, you know, we've had the blessing and the privilege of getting to know her very well on a personal level, to worship alongside of her and to learn from her in conversation. So you know, when she goes out all over the country and even other parts of the world to talk about these things, we always pinch ourselves a bit because it's like, hey, we know her. And, you know, and she's one of us. She's a faithful and pious LCMS Lutheran who is deeply committed to the Holy Scriptures and to our Lutheran confessions. And really an example of what it looks like to be, you know, a faithful wife and mother, but also to be an expert in her field and to use that expertise to love and serve her neighbor and to serve the church. So, you know, I thank God for her and for the work that she does.
Speaking of an expert in her field, Dr. Harrison, tell us about APLOG and your involvement with that and the many colleagues who also care about life issues, particularly in this field of medicine.
Yeah, the American Association of Pro-Life OB-GYNs is 8,000 strong across the country, and we exist to provide an evidence-based response to defend both the pregnant mom and the human being in her womb. So we're doctors that care about both of them, and we feel strongly that even as a part of informed consent, women need to know this information about what abortion actually does to women and its effects. So that's what APLOG is committed to. We've got wonderful resources on our website, again, mostly aimed at medical professionals, but many of them are accessible, you know, to read, even for someone that isn't a physician or a nurse practitioner. So, yeah, I think every woman should ask their OB-GYN whether or not they're a member of the American Association of Pro-Life OB-GYNs.
We are talking with the organizers and presenters for this year's men's gathering happening in Seymour, Indiana. We have more to talk about after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Josh Vandercar and Luke Vandercar, organizers of the men's gathering, and also the Reverend Dr. Richard Stuckwish and Dr. Donna Harrison, this year's presenters at the men's gathering in April in Seymour, Indiana. And before the break, Dr. Harrison and Pastor Stuckwish gave a nice rundown of the topics that are happening at this year's gathering. Now, Josh, well, why is it important to you that men have the opportunity to learn from Dr. Harrison and Pastor Stuckwish at the men's gathering?
So on our website, in introducing this topic for the year, we've posed one question to all the men that are visiting there. It says, are we prepared to answer the tough questions related to these topics, like abortion, birth control, and such? Because if we're not, those we are given charge over will find their answers elsewhere. Dr. Harrison, I think it was 2 years ago you had a conversation on the On the Line podcast, and my brother Luke directed me to that. And in listening to that, my eyes were really open to the complexities of the issues here that I was never aware of. And it really proved that you have a wealth and knowledge and experience that could bring real facts and truth to bear on these things. Stuff that I was never really aware of. And I think the men of our church need to hear these same facts and truths so that we can care for those around us. Being a husband and a father to five girls and two boys, you know, I want to be sure that I'm equipped to train them up well and give them a good footing. And, you know, this world that really wants to push back against the truth. And so, We think that giving other men this same opportunity to learn from you will help educate and prepare them as fathers, sons, grandfathers, so they can help those in their lives make wise decisions regarding these issues.
Anything you'd like to add to that about the topics and presenters for this year?
Yeah, I guess the very top and kind of the theme for our year or for the men's gathering this year is guarding our first charge. We're looking at some of the Old Testament, you know, scriptures to be fruitful and multiply and in Deuteronomy, therefore choose life. These are really like the very first original, you know, great commissions that we were given. And as my brother Joshua said, we as men need to be able to guard those that we have been given charge over. And part of that guarding is, you know, educating them and being educated ourselves. I think as Josh said, when I listened to that podcast, I didn't realize how much I didn't know on these things. It's easy to say you're pro-life and you're against these things and you're for these things, but we need to be able to answer and really understand the intricacies of what's happening with all of these, you know, complex situations. And I felt I came away from that podcast in a lot better position to be able to have discussions with people and open up the doors to have those conversations. So yeah, excited to be able to bring that to the men's gathering and hope that everyone else leaves with the same tools in their belt.
Now, in addition to the presentations, there's also some other activities that happen, so I hear, at the men's gathering that happens. Joshua, what else is happening at the men's gathering?
Well, this year it's happening a week after Easter, so we get to feast. We regularly have a hog roast and plenty of other good food and drink. We have Friday activities that we're planning this year, which include like a clay pigeon shoot. Some folks maybe go out for golfing. We have a couple area tours, Columbus architecture tour, and maybe some tours of the factories in the area that we have planned for Friday. And Saturday sectionals, where we bring in some experts in their field to teach us on various topics. This year, we have someone leading us in beekeeping, astronomy. We're going to have, I believe, Pastor Stecker is hopefully coming down and going to lead us in a session on seven deadly sins. We have a number of other folks kind of bringing their expertise to us. And then we have some good-natured, friendly competition throughout the weekend as well. The medieval challenge is always a hit. We'll see how we can work something similar to that in this year. A dartball tournament we've had the past few years throughout the weekend. So yeah, a lot of good fellowship and food.
You said medieval challenge. For those who didn't catch previous conversations about that, I think you need to unpack that because you just opened that can of worms.
Yeah, so think wheelbarrow jousting is one of a thing with pool noodles. I mean, what could be better for men, right? One sits in the wheelbarrow, one pushes, and you race at each other. Last year, we also introduced a javelin throw, I think. We got up on their climbing tower and had a target on the ground where we were throwing for accuracy. Yeah, a hammer throw. We had a 30-pound hammer that my brother crafted from a chunk of wood in the forest, and we hucked that around. So, yeah,
and
good
the,
times.
You can't forget the castle siege as well, which is like archery tag meets dartball meets football. I don't know. It's a good time.
It sounds so fun.
Yes.
And Dr. Harrison will be presenting on the life expectancy of men compared to the life expectancy of women.
Correct.
Is that a session as well?
Dr. Harrison, do you need an assistant? Because I would also like to be present for these games.
Yeah, we're in, man.
Oh, man. Luke, how is this gathering different from previous men's gatherings?
Well, obviously, our main speaker being a woman is the first time that we've done this. So we think that's kind of unique. Know that we're maybe taking a little bit of a risk, but as I said, the conviction that Josh and I had coming away, we're confident that the men are going to be extremely happy with what they learn at this year's gathering. We also decided to move it up a day because we do have a lot of leaders in the church, elders, pastors, and whatnot that need to get back to their church for Sunday morning. So we're going to be starting the gathering on Thursday. And then we'll have our main speaking sessions, a couple on Friday, and then a couple on Saturday as well. So folks won't have to miss out on a large session or so if they need to get home early for church. A little bit of a change in schedule. Hopefully that'll allow a few more folks to be able to make it.
Luke, what do we need to know to register for this year's men's gathering?
Yeah, so we've got a website, mensgathering.us. You can hop on there, and it's a pretty simple registration process. Click on the register online button, and you'll be asked to fill out whether you want to register just for yourself or for a group of guys. You can request a room together. I think we've only got a few spots left in the lodge, so things are filling up pretty quick. So I would encourage folks to get on and register today if you've been dragging your feet. We also do have a Help a Brother Out fund. So if you're interested in this, but times are tight, reach out to us, and we've got funds available to make sure that you don't miss out on this opportunity. And then we also have a Facebook page as well. I think you can search Men's Gathering on the Facebook and you can find our page there. We haven't posted that as much. Been trying to do some social media fasting through Lent, so we've been a little quiet on social media, but still sending out some emails and on a few podcasts and interviews like this. But mensgathering.us is where you need to go.
And this is taking place April 9th through 12th.
I guess we need to say that as well. Yeah. So as my brother Joshua said, it's the weekend after Easter. So April 9th to 12th, folks can come in Thursday night. We'll have registration and dinner and some activities for Thursday night. The first session happens Friday morning. And then we'll be wrapping up the presentations and Saturday afternoon into the evening, but we will have plenty of folks staying through Sunday as well. So the registration covers Thursday through Sunday, no matter.
You mentioned that this is a hog roast as well, correct?
Yep.
Joshua, what do you want to tell us about the location, Lakeview Villages, and how we find
Yes,
that?
Lakeview Villages. So this is down between Seymour and Columbus, Indiana, about 15 miles off I-65. The Villages are one of our Lutheran camps that serves southern Indiana and the surrounding states. So we'll be happy to gather there. We've been there the past several years, and it's a great place to gather and fellowship together.
And there are a variety of lodging options as well, correct, taking place at the men's gathering? You want to tell us a little
there
bit about
are,
those? Yeah.
Yeah, Luke said there are only a few spots left in the lodge, which is our main meeting area. We do have some folks that will tent out or tarp out, as Luke has done in the past. And there are also cabins available, are nice cabins to stay in, a couple village clusters, they call them, around camp.
Several guys bring in their campers as well. So we've got spots to set up campers and whatnot if you've got an RV and want to sign up for the tent.
So any way that you like to camp is available at Lakeview Villages. Dr. Harrison, what are you looking forward to at the men's gathering happening in just a little bit?
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing all these faithful men and, you know, helping them to understand what some of the issues are that we really need their voice for. I want them to not be intimidated by feeling like, well, I can't speak into this issue. When, as a faithful Lutheran, you not only can you, you should. Lutherans have a unique perspective on all of these issues, which is so critically needed, because it's kind of a voice of, I wanted to say a voice of sanity, but it's a voice of being able to appeal to God's creation, but also appeal to His Word. And I think Lutherans handle that uniquely very well. And I just want to equip these brothers to be able to be courageous.
Pastor Sekwish, what about you? What are you looking forward to at the men's gathering?
Well, I love going to Camp Lakeview. Luke and Josh have a brother who is the director of the camp, Dave Vandekar, and I've gotten to know him well as a colleague and a friend, and enjoy my time at Camp Lakeview. And I'm delighted that these men, you know, chose this topic and invited Donna, and I consider myself privileged to be able to take part. over the years, I've written on this topic and spoken on this topic, and it's a volatile one in many ways, especially when you're talking about birth control and contraception. And, you know, I have found, you know, people disagreeing on all sides of those discussions, but I've lost track of the number of people who have just quietly contacted me, just one-on-one, to thank me for what I've had to offer. Pastors and lay people alike, men who are really striving to be faithful in their callings and sometimes finding it really difficult to know how to navigate those questions. So I consider it a privilege and a good opportunity to contribute. And this is another one of those opportunities. So yeah, there's lots to look forward to.
A men's gathering taking place April 9th through 12th at Lakeview Villages in Seymour, Indiana. You can find more information at mensgathering.us. Our guest today, Joshua Vanderkar, men's gathering organizer. Joshua, thanks for being our guest today.
Good to be here. Thanks.
Luke Vanderkar, men's gathering organizer. Luke, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Appreciate it.
The Reverend Dr. Richard Stuckwish, he's president of the Indiana District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and one of the presenters for the men's gathering. Dr. Stuckwish, thanks for being our guest today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
And Dr. Donna Harrison, retired board certified obstetrician and active leader in APLOG and this year's presenter for the men's gathering. Dr. Harrison, always a delight to get to hear from you. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me on, Andy.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.